It's not how frequently you fight. It's even not how loud you are when you fight that predicts relationship disaster. It's the way you fight. Do you fight fair, or do you make the kind of errors that have been shown by research to end your relationship? Welcome to this episode of Sex, Love, and Elephants. We're here in January. I'm helping you reboot your relationship and kick things off with some great actionable tools and techniques you can start right now to make 2024 your best relationship year yet. So let's get right in. Last week, if you didn't hear it, you might want to go back and take a listen to last week's episode where I gave you three tips for better sex in 2024. Well, in a way, today I'm giving you three tips for better fights in 2024, which might sound kind of odd. But wait, Dr. Cheryl, isn't the goal to not argue? That is not the goal. Are you a human being? Do you love another human being? Do you truly think it's possible to, in a healthy manner, I'm going to repeat that, in a healthy manner, never argue with your sweetheart, never disagree, never have an argument that might get a little tense or lead to one of you feeling anxious or worried or hurt or angry or more? Do you really think a couple who never argues is healthy? Well, with my clinical psychologist, sex therapist, relationship expert hat on, I'm going to say never arguing, never disagreeing is a giant red flag. You may be one of the minority of couples. There's no really accurate statistics on this, but let's say something like 15 to 20% of couples who never argue. And when I take a deeper dive with those couples, there's always a few in my Become Passion program each year, they eventually are able to share that, well, the reason we never have conflict is we've learned to avoid difficult topics. So we don't talk about finances, or we don't talk about that hurt from how he or she didn't propose to me in the romantic way I longed for. We just learn to avoid those topics. I think of it like your living room is filled with all of these undetonated emotional hand grenades that you tiptoe around because you don't want to have an uncomfortable and what I'm going to call an unhealthy, damaging fight or argument. I don't want any of us to have an unhealthy, damaging fight or argument either. But here's the thing, people. Relationship is a dynamic, growing thing. You are not your partner. They are not you. I'm going to say a little bit more about that in a moment. But you will not see things the same way all the time. That's healthy. That's also possibly the real benefit to loving someone who's not just like us. They can open our eyes to new things. They can teach us new perspectives. We don't necessarily have to agree entirely with that perspective. Having seven cats is a great thing, might be your partner's perspective, and might be more of a two-pet person. But understanding your partner's perspective is an absolute key foundation for a healthy, long-term, communicative, and happy relationship. In the Become Passion program, my three-month program, I'm offering it next in April 2023. We'll be kicking off at the end of April this year. Sorry, 2024. Yeah, it's only January 5th or something when I'm recording this. Haven't quite got the lingo to 24. This spring 24. In 4 months, I'll be offering the Become Passion program to a lucky group of couples who choose to be part of this dynamic 3 month program with me. If you'd like to know more, click below and you can go watch a little video about the program, get some feedback from other couples who've taken the program. And if you like, you can get on the wait list. That does not mean you have any obligation to join the program whatsoever, but it means you'll be the first to know when the doors open. And also when I offer some free Zoom classes where you can jump on with me, with your partner and get some coaching and advice on your own unique relationships, whether or not you join the program. If that interests you, get on the waitlist for the program so you'll be invited to all those special things. So I'm talking about arguing and fighting and how to fight fair, and I'm going to be giving you three tips to fight fair. But first, I want to give you an overall concept, like an umbrella concept that I want you to work with for the rest of the year. For the rest of your life, actually, around why we end up in trouble with our partner, why we end up in those repeated arguments that seem to go nowhere, why we end up feeling we've got to rather angrily defend our point of view until they say we're right, or collapse and say, you're right, let's stop fighting, I need peace in my home. Ultimately, I want you to start playing with an idea I call the other side of the clock exercise. And what that is, it's literally a clock. I'm going to go get my clock. So hang on a minute. This is a clock I was given, I think, as a gift from my family when I got my master's degree or my PhD degree. And it's a little clock, and it has sat next to me for decades while I worked with couples in my private practice. And I'm going to show you the most powerful exercise I ever teach. This is a concept exercise. Then I'm going to give you three tips to fight fair. But here's the concept. Pretend you're sitting in front of me right now with your sweetheart. You're both on my couch. My couch is actually over there, the couch I used to use. And you're talking about how one of you wants to move and the other one wants to stay in the city. The one that wants to move to the country, see different things, have a different life. And I say, okay, before we get into helping you try to resolve or look at this pretty big issue, do we stay in the city or do we make a big move to the country as a family? I'm going to take you through an exercise called the other side of the clock. And they look at me funny because it's a funny request. I then do this. I'll turn to partner A. Partner A, look at this object in my hand. I want you to pretend that you're a Martian, so you don't know what a clock is. You're down on Earth looking at this Earth object. Your team is up top at the Martian spaceship. They cannot see it. Your job is to describe what you see the best you can so the people up in the spaceship understand it. And now I say, partner A, okay, you can use any words you like except the word clock. Go. And they might say, well, it looks to be a gold or shiny metal color, roughly the size of a hand or, you know, 4 centimeters tall-ish. It looks like it has Roman numerals on the front and these sort of sticky out bits that point to different things. It looks like one of them is going around and it seems to have a rim around the outside. And I say, great, you're 100% right. Then, of course, I turn the clock around and I show it to partner number two. And I say, partner number two, same setup. You're looking at this object. Here you go. This is what it looks like. Describe it to me best you can. Use any word you like, but not the word clock, which you probably wouldn't use if you're looking this way anyway, because it doesn't look like a clock. Go. They say, well, it's a black object. It looks to have 6 or 8 sides, maybe. It's got this kind of sticky out bit like a handle. It has some dials and maybe a switch and like some screws in it. And it looks like maybe it's made of some sort of plastic or man-made material. I can't really tell without touching it. And I say, great, you're 100% right. Well done. Then I ask the skill testing question of that couple. I say, okay, so which one of you is right? And generally the couple laughs and they say, well, neither of us is right or both of us is right. That is your main teaching point for today, everybody, is the following. When you are talking to your partner or arguing with your partner or disagreeing with your partner, you literally do not know their side of things. You cannot see their side of the clock, so to speak. You cannot visualize what they're seeing. They have a different background, a different family upbringing, different hopes and dreams. They have different points of view, different triggers, different things they want and don't want that they think are a good idea and a bad idea and on and on and on. Have you met them? Is your partner just like you in every way? Of course not. When you adopt this simple, powerful idea, this is one of the things that the couples in the 3-month program at the end, when they give feedback on what they found most helpful, this concept is always at the top of the list, along with the 3-breath hug I talked about last episode of Sex, Love, and Elephants. And you're like, really? Really? I teach them some heavy duty communication exercises after I introduce this idea. We go through about a month of really working with a lot of deep communication stuff. Some of it you can hear on this podcast. Some of it's a little too complicated to explain and share on a podcast. But this idea, your partner is not wrong. They're just different. If I'm seeing gold and Roman numerals and it looks like it has sticky out handle things and you're seeing black with a kickstand and black circular dials, I cannot understand why you see that. Because when I'm looking at it, I'll show you a visual again. This is what I see. This is what I know. This is my truth. This is my reality. And when you're telling me it's black and it's got a handle on it and it's got dials on it, I think you're mad. I think you're not listening to me. No, I said it was gold. You say, no, it's black with a handle. What's wrong with you? Why aren't you listening to me? You're impossible. Why do I even try? And so on. Does that sound familiar? So your big teaching concept for today, why? Because we're taking January as a time to reboot our relationship, to make better intentions for the year to come, to find ways to be happier and more connected, to treat each other with more grace and respect and dignity and ourselves. And one of the best way to really improve your communication is with your mind. Is to step back from what's happening. And instead of saying, my partner is so wrong, they're not listening to me, how could they want this? What's wrong with them? Think, what do they see on their side of this clock? What is their experience? What are their thoughts? What is their history? What is it in their background that makes them really want to move to the country? Can I listen to them? Can I understand them? Can I try really hard to honor their side of the clock? That doesn't necessarily solve the problem of whether we stay living in the city as we have for a decade, or do we buy a house in the country and move our lives and maybe businesses there. But until you really understand your partner's point of view, you're not going to get anywhere. So that's the big teaching for today, right? Whenever you're confused, stop and think, what is my partner's side of this? And then you can move, if you're skillful enough, into, babe, I don't understand. I'm feeling triggered. I'm feeling upset. I don't know what to do with this. But would you please try to understand, help me understand why you want to move to the country? So there's your big concept. We'll develop that in future episodes. Don't worry. And if you want to do that kind of work in a deep dive, coached by me, working for 3 months with your partner and I, consider getting on the wait list for Become Passion, because I'm having a blast with my current group. They finish up in a couple of weeks here towards the end of January, the group that joined me in early November. And then I look forward to my next group in April, May, June, maybe into July. Okay. So your three tips, what are your three tips to fight fair? We can reverse that and say the three ways to stop yourself from fighting in an ugly, hurtful, destructive manner. How can you argue better in 2024? My first tip is time out, stop, shut up. Okay, this is the hardest one I'm offering of these three, but the first most important one is, can you stop the argument when it's going off the rails? When one of you feels triggered, extra emotional, you may be escalating, getting louder, maybe starting to swear, maybe starting to repeat the same point over and over to drive it home, maybe interrupting your partner, you're not listening to me, I wasn't finished. All of these are clues that there's some flooded emotion present, there's some irrational emotion present. The topic may be valid, even your words may be valid, but if either of you is behaving in a manner that indicates there's some excessive emotion and irrationality, if either of you is feeling those warning signs of, uh-oh, when we argue this way, it tends to go badly, we end up escalating, we end up not resolving anything, sometimes we sleep in different rooms, I want you to learn something really, really hard. You're probably not going to be able to do it effectively just from hearing me say it now. Maybe a small minority of you will, which is fantastic. The rest of you will need to really work on this. Do some research on this. We talk a lot about it in the program if you want to learn there. But you need to figure out a timeout technique that works for the two of you. Stop action, meaning stop talking, stop the argument in its tracks. But this needs to be decided between the two of you so that it's a healthy action, not a, I'm out of here, you grab the car keys, you storm out of the house swearing, get in the car and drive away, and your partner doesn't know if or when you're coming back. That's destructive. It's unintentionally abusive and very, very harmful to the relationship. No, what I'm talking about is a way when things are starting to escalate or decline toward ugly fighting or unhelpful fighting or a pattern that you need to figure out a way to stop. I teach a detailed 30-minute timeout technique where you stop completely for 30 minutes. There's no conversation at all. You both go into different places in the house, do something to self-soothe yourself, maybe do some yoga, play a stupid game on your phone, watch some TV, bake some cookies, walk the dog. But you have to come back in 28 minutes and have a hug. There needs to be a time limit to a powerful tool like a 30-minute timeout technique. That may be too powerful for some of you now. It's a tool that's often used as a weapon. People say, I'm taking a timeout, and then they go away for 4 hours. That's really destructive. Do not do that. So trying a 30-minute timeout may be a little too hot to handle for you right now, but maybe you can do something that is more of a scale back version of it. Babe, we need to stop for a few minutes. Babe, let me catch my breath. Babe, can we have a hug and stop talking? This has gone off the rails. It's not working well. I'm frightened by this conversation. Can we talk later? I love you. I need to stop. Whew. Very few couples do this effectively and often. And it's not your fault. It's no one's fault. It's because when we're getting triggered and irrational, we are literally irrational. We're hijacked by emotions. We're hijacked by cortisol, adrenaline. We very much feel a sensation that we have to keep talking. It feels desperate. I've got to convince you that my side is right. You need to hear me. I'm not being heard. There may be some psychological truth to that. There may be some skillful relationship work that needs to happen around those feelings, but they're not entirely true. When we calm down, we usually see that we were being a bully and we weren't listening to our partner, and they kept saying they did agree with us, but we were overriding them, or et cetera. So the first tip for fighting fair is to learn a timeout technique of some kind, a stop action technique from some kind. And I always want you to build in a three breath hug when you come back together. This is a very brief teaching of a very complex exercise. But again, I want to give you what I can. And if you want to go deeper, you know where to find me in April. If you don't, go to the show notes or to my website and sign up for the waitlist. So at least you'll get more information whether you choose to join me or not. So the second tip for fighting fair is to change your state, change your mental emotional state with an action. And I am going to demonstrate for you at my own slight humiliation. No, not humiliation, but I'm willing to be silly for y'all if it makes the point. Something I learned from friend and colleague Joseph McClendon III. He's an extraordinary trainer. He trains at Tony Robbins. He teaches half of Tony Robbins' primary introductory event, Unleash the Power Within. I had the pleasure to teach for Tony Robbins, and I've been on Joseph's podcast. He's a great guy. And he has a book he calls Assitude. And one of his main ways he teaches people to change your state. What does that mean, Cheryl? It means, when I'm upset, can I do a very simple action or a mental trick to help change my mental emotional state? I'll give you an example. Let's say you go for a walk today and you're super worried about a work problem, or you're worried about your relationship, or you're angry about something a friend did or said, and you're stewing over it on your head and you're feeling quite negative, maybe quite tearful, upset, anxious, maybe angry. And then you go by a dog park and there's a couple of puppies playing with the joy of the ages, and it just completely stops you in your tracks. And for a moment or two, you laugh and you look at this beautiful little puppy play, and it changes your state. In that moment or two, maybe longer, you're no longer angry. You're no longer obsessing about the bad stuff. You're no longer in a bad mental emotional state. So each of us should develop a couple of hacks, a couple of activities or thought stopping techniques that help us get out of a bad state. Now, I mentioned Joseph's book was called Assitude, and his state change is shake your ass, shake your ass, shake your ass. My husband and I adopted this as a couple's technique for the two of us, and I love sharing it with you. Again, it's Joseph McClendon III's technique. And this is how we use it. If we're starting to argue, or if one of us is just being crabby, frankly, usually me, he's a little more even keeled than me. I'm a woman of a lot of roiling emotions. I'm maybe starting to worry, go down a bit of a downward spiral of work worry or something. We try more often than not for one of us to say, honey, shake your ass. And it literally means this. I'm going to stand up and do it right now. If you're watching this on video, you're going to stand up, and it's very simple. I'm going to tilt this camera. You're going to shake your ass, and you're going to shake your ass, and you're going to shake your ass. Everybody listening, try this right now. If you're walking, stop and shake your ass. I don't mind if the passersby think you're a little cuckoo. I'll do it for your well-being. If you're driving, we shake our ass in our car because I don't think we're the only couple in the world who occasionally get into a bit of a dispute or a disagreement while we're driving, and we'll shake our ass while we're driving. I'm doing it right now in my chair. Now, when you did it, do this. If you haven't done it, do you want to be a happier, healthier person? Shake your ass right now. Do the work. It'll take you a few seconds. Have you done it? Okay. How do you feel? Across the board, people report they feel a little bit more lighthearted. They might have laughed. They might feel silly. They don't feel as intense or tense as they did before they shook their ass. So that's your second technique, your second tip for ugly fighting, or to stop bad fighting, or to fight fair. One, figure out a timeout, stop action technique so you can stop the argument before it gets worse. Second, shake your ass, which you're quite right, smart people, can be one of your techniques to help stop an argument or a bickering or a disagreement. Shake your ass. Find another one if you like. You could do two jumping jacks. You could hug your partner really hard. You could give them a goofy grin. You could do three really deep breaths in and out. But shake your ass is our favorite one, so I shared it with you. And the third thing I want you to do is apologize. We're human. We make mistakes. Our partner's human. They make mistakes. Learn to apologize like a pro. We're going to link below this episode to an earlier episode of Sex, Love, and Elephants, where I think it's titled Apologize Like a Mofo, where I go really deep into how to apologize really well. But mainly, you need to own what you did. Don't just say, I'm sorry. It's a start. A lot of people won't even say, I'm sorry. So I'll take it if that's your starting place. But I raised my voice. I was feeling really upset and I kept trying to convince you my view was right. That wasn't cool. So you're owning it. You're saying what you did and you're owning it. That wasn't cool. I wish I hadn't done that. That wasn't okay, babe. I'm sorry. That has so much more power than a simple throwaway, I'm sorry. Even when that I'm sorry is sincere. Sometimes it's not. It's like, I'm sorry. Or it's, I'm sorry that upset you, which is a lame-ass, passive-aggressive way to apologize. I'm sorry that upset you. No, 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 no. You'd be sorry for, I'm sorry I said something that was upsetting. So again, that's a whole episode. We'll link to it below. I can talk more about it in future episodes in these next few months. But that's what I wanted to bring you today. So first of all, overall concept. Other side of the clock. What is my partner's experience, hopes, and dreams? Why is this important to them? Instead of convincing them it's black or gold, it has a handle or it doesn't, can I learn their experience? And from that, we want to work on three ways to fight fair and to reduce your ugly fighting. The first is to come up with some sort of stop action time out technique. The second is to learn to change your state. When you're upset, I love shaking my ass. Thanks, Joseph. And third is to apologize. That brings us to today's love bite. It's okay to argue. It's okay to fight. It's how you do it that matters. Learn to fight like a champion by taking timeouts, shaking your ass, and apologizing like a mofo. Thanks so much for being here. Can't wait to see you in the next episode. Coming up, we're going to continue this exploration of ways to improve your relationship. To set yourself up for more relationship success in 2024, because guess what, babies? It doesn't happen on its own. Great things take action. I'm here to help you do that. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Sex, Love, and Elephants. But most of all, thank you for being part of this herd. If you enjoyed listening, please share this with a friend. And if you haven't already, I would love, love, love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review the show on your podcast player, because it really helps all the other elephants find us. If you have any questions or comments or maybe an idea for the show or you'd like to be a guest, reach out to me directly at drcherylfraser.com, where you can also sign up for weekly Love Bites, science-based tips for creating love and passion that last a lifetime.